it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice. Sit down. Pity your styles. What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. We're out west, Ashburn, Virginia. It's kind of the beginning of Bears Week, but it's also kind of a day away. They have a unique situation this week with the Monday Nighter, but the good news with the Monday Nighter is it gives some of the guys that are injured an extra day to maybe get right. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
JP, I am good, brother.
You got sucked into a 30 for 30 last night when you were trying to find some baseball?
Man, look, I was trying to go to the baseball. I went to it, and I bounced back, and I found myself kept going back. Listen, man, listening to Ray Lewis, Tony Siragusa, Shannon Sharp, Rod Woodson, what's the quarterback?
Trent Dilfer, yeah.
All these guys talking and just reliving that stuff. It's like a lot of that stuff you saw pop up on TV back in the day, you can remember it. But, man, that stuff, Tony Siragusa was, I'm telling you, he was must see TV. You know, that dude was funny as hell. He was good. They were talking trash to him, and he told them, yeah, and we're going to hurt your damn quarterback. And then he hurt the quarterback when he just did like a little belly flop on top of Rich Gannon, man. Listen, it was good, man. Just like going back and looking at that, and you look at the, bruh, they were hitting people, dog.
Big time.
They hit so hard that Corey Dillon walked out the game and was like, hell with that, I ain't going back in there.
Right.
And Corey Dillon was a bad man.
Totally.
Corey Dillon looked at his coach like, man, to hell with you. Right. I am not going back on that football field.
Yeah, man, it was those were interesting times. Those teams were loaded. I didn't watch a ton of sports last night. I was excited because I was cooking dinner for the family.
You didn't do no baked beans, did you? I was just telling people about your baked beans.
No baked beans.
All right, good.
I grilled steaks. Shelby loves steak these days, so I grilled steaks, corn on the cob.
Now, you're good at that. Now, you know, I don't give much credit to many people. I'm telling y'all, if he cooks steak, eat it.
There's not a lot I do well culinary-wise, yeah. But this was a meal that I can handle. Steak, corn on the cob, baked potatoes, and I sautéed some mushrooms. That's my wheelhouse.
I'm going to do with the baked potatoes. Go to like a Wegmans or
I got them from Wegmans.
Yeah, go like that or what's the other one? The Wegmans,
Whole Foods.
Get the twice bake where they already cleaned them up and then they restuff them.
And
all you
got to
do is bake
them.
There you go.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
And my girls honestly might – my little one might like that better because it's softer, but I will keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But, dude, so that the Tigers game was supposed to start at like 4, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it on and was kind of excited just to have like background music baseball, basically. And that thing got rain delayed forever. At one point, the game had started. So I was like, all right, cool. And I was kind of paying attention. And it was Scooble pitching. And I was like, he just pitched. They can't be running him again. Yeah, it was a replay. And I was like,
hey, unless he's trying to go back in the day, man. Hell.
Ended up watching a movie with the kids. It was truly god-awful. But, again, your boy gets to sleep on the couch. Hey, I'll sit here and watch Double Toil and Trouble with you. And that's a nice little 45-minute
nap. You know what's about to happen? Somebody about to rat you out.
I mean, Lauren's probably listening.
Hey, Lauren.
Yo, but
next time he offered to go watch that movie, he ain't watching no movie. He's sleeping.
But
kids are running him.
Does it actually matter? If I'm on the couch with the girls and they're watching the movie and I'm dozing,
yeah, but
we're all still in it together.
You basically just – this is the thing I try to make you understand. See, it doesn't matter if you don't get on the radio and say, I can go get a nap, but I just told my wife I was going to watch the girls.
You might be onto something there. I also discovered.
It's me just trying to help out the little bro. See, I have four older brothers. I didn't listen to nothing but one of them. because the other three, the information they were giving me got me in a lot of trouble over my time. So my two sisters and my brother, Darren, who's right next to me. You met Darren, I'm sure, before.
Yeah.
Those three were the ones that I kind of followed. So when they said do something, I necessarily did it. So they were like I am to you sometimes, trying to help you out.
Gotcha.
Now, Blanche, Michael, and Tyrone, if they said do it, when they said it, like I have this little thing. If you have to think twice about something, it's probably not good to do. You have to think 15 times about what they told you, and you still come up with, nah, I don't do that. You know, because I knew if I do it and I got away with it, eventually somebody going to find out, and then I always worried about Pops finding out. Because Pops didn't care who told you to do it. He said, if they tell you to jump off a damn bridge, would you do it? No. Well, why the hell you did that? Because he was my older brother. Well, you know they stay in trouble, so why would you let somebody stay in trouble?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
I hear you.
I went through all that.
I also discovered something. You know what's remarkable is Sheetz. Specifically, is that Sterling Landfill? Where would that Sheetz be?
Over there?
That's off 28. 28 by that hotel.
Back,
there's always that little taco.
Yeah, make a little like, right and go right back.
Truck
yeah, that's,
there.
That would be considered Sterling Herndon, right, Landfill?
Yeah, on the app it says Sterling.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
By the Hyatt
right on
House.
Right on the cusp. Yeah, right on the cusp.
That Sheetz has become a primary source of news for me. Last month I learned via Sheetz that the price of Kit Kats was going up. I don't know if that's tariff related.
They told you that?
They post signs on the cash register.
Oh.
And they're like, yo, we're letting our customers know the price of Kit Kats is going up in a month. Today, B, and maybe you knew this. This was news to me.
I don't go to the Sheetz.
Well, you're missing out. There's a lot of dudes with no shoes on in there.
They don't wear shoes?
They don't believe in no shoes, no shirt, no service. They just believe in service.
All right. Well, hell. At this point, if not many people got money to spend. You better get the ones if they got no shoes and they got money, let them in.
Well, speaking of money, did you know this? The U.S. Mint, the people that make money,
yeah,
will no longer produce pennies.
Hmm. To be honest with you, though.
I kind of get it.
I get it because, like, now you go into most stores, and let's say something is, let's say, $5 and 2 cents or 4 cents, and you give them six, they'll give you a whole dollar back.
Well, dude.
They don't take the 4 cents.
I think, what do you think the percentage of transactions across the United States at this point are still cash?
It's not a ton, but you know, it's enough. But still, it's very tedious when you're going through something and you got to count the pennies.
I think.
I understand. If somebody roll in with that big thing there full of pennies, I understand. That could be a good amount of money.
Right.
I'm not going to arrest you over a penny being out the system or 10 pennies being out the system.
B, I mean, I agree. To me, penny, like the only person that gets excited about pennies are my six-year-old. She throws them in her piggy bank, thinks it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the logic behind this is pennies have gotten to be more expensive to make than they're worth.
But once that happens, you got to stop it.
But my only concern, I suppose, I think for probably the majority and maybe the vast majority of Americans, the penny is pretty irrelevant. But I think if you're super broke, like if you're like legitimately below the poverty line, like and you're like collecting everything you got, I don't know. But I found that out this morning.
Yeah, but they stopped making them. I don't mean they're going to lose their value.
So the way Sheetz was rolling, this is what Sheetz is offering its customers. They say, all right, so the U.S. Mint will no longer produce pennies, so we are short on change. Please consider cashless payment options like credit, debit, Sheetz Go, and order on the app.
Mm-hmm.
Rounding up your purchase to support local kids' charities. Or if you got a dollar in pennies, you can roll in there and they'll give you a free drink. I guess it's not free. I guess you're paying a dollar for
it. Yeah, not free.
Yeah.
But see, you have the little thing where you can get, have this little app you can do. You could like find out how the value of certain like coins.
Yeah.
There's some very expensive pennies out there.
Sure.
So if I can get all the pennies, I have a better chance of getting some of those very, very valuable pennies and get them out your hands.
So are you going to start penny hoarding?
No. I'm just saying that Sheep's probably doing that.
I'll ask the boys in the aquarium. Did anybody else know that pennies are cooked?
Nah.
No.
No.
Nobody.
The last time I used a penny was like 7 years ago.
Do you never pay with cash?
No.
Very rarely.
I try to still live in the cash economy. And, yo, there's places now that don't take cash. Like every ball game you go to, they're all cashless.
It's much easier for the business to take the credit card.
But they pay a fee on that.
Cool. But you know what, though? If you all bring all cash, you lose it. You're paying a fee on that, too. You know what? Sticky fingers. Okay? Bro, listen to me. Any business that you deal with straight cash, you got a problem. Come on, man. You've been around banks. I mean, not just the bank.
Bars.
Bars, for sure.
For sure.
Here we go. Somebody come in, they pay $100. All right? And the bill, whatever it is. You probably gave them more. If it's your boy, you gave them more than what the bill was any damn way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you do it with the card, everything normally always together. Okay, if I ring up, boom, 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 boom. And then I'm going to tell you the best thing. Just put the camera behind the bar. Once that camera behind the bar and watching that cash register, you know what liquor they poured, and you know how much money should have been charged.
For sure. I don't know. I just found that interesting that pennies are cooked. I think that's kind of just
– like the Susan B. Anthony. It was cooked back in the day.
Was that the dollar coin?
Yeah. It was a coin, and then they had the $2 bill, then that quickly went away.
Yeah.
Because I know somebody that when they would go to a certain establishment, all they handed out was $2 bills.
I may have been in my younger days in South Carolina, and all you got was $2 bills.
Hey, I'm telling you, I had a dude basically had like a duffel bag of $2 bills. So he was known as the $2 bill dude.
My dad used to collect them. He just thought they were cool. I mean, I think you go way back in time. Didn't they used to have like a hay penny, like a half penny? When stuff cost 2 cents?
Well, JP, I know y'all think I'm old, but I ain't that damn old. I don't remember nothing like that. I don't remember that one.
B, when you played Monday night games,
yes.
What was it like during the week when you know it's like, all right, we have an extra day here? Because we're in Ashburn, walking through the player lot, they're all still here. Everybody's here, you know.
They rolled in a little later today because I saw a lot of – normally there are no empty parking spots.
I did notice a couple.
There are tons of empty parking spots today. But, like, for me, though, Jay, it's like when you're in it, and the coaches normally adjusted it to where when you came in, we're rolling on that Wednesday, that Thursday. But that Wednesday we knew it was going to be an easier walkthrough. They made the actual week very similar to what it was. So when you got a game on Sunday, Wednesday, which is, 4 days prior? 5 days, if you want to look at it, you would do the exact same thing. So if it's a Monday night game, you move it to Thursday. And you try to do everything the same way. But I don't think you really thought about it much. You know, you heard the hype of Monday night and things like that, but you still wanted to get your body and prepared and ready to go.
I think today will be primarily – as much recovery as possible, and then kind of glorified walkthroughs, don't you think?
More than likely.
It'll be – how much impact – we'll start with McLaurin. How much impact does the extra day have on him being able to get back on the field? How significant
is that? If they were leaning towards or moving towards him coming back this week, and it's a Monday game, if he was going to be coming on Sunday and he's ready to go, that Monday is even better. You know, you give him another two, maybe three times of treatment. He gets a little bit extra, another day of working out and getting some, get that shape to test the knee even more. I mean, not the knee, the quad even
hip,
more.
Whatever it is.
You know, it helps. That one day helps tremendously. But because let's think about it. If it was a Sunday and he was going to be ready to go, Monday can't hurt. Monday has to help.
It can't hurt. I just had a buddy of mine that owns a bunch of bars and restaurants say that the credit card percent transactions are about 95% now.
Yeah.
I believe it, man.
See, man, my dad owned the bar when I was growing up.
One of the many things we have in common.
One thing he always say, he say, look, man, I always watch your money. He say, all these people smile, hate it. They call my daddy Mitch or Virtus. I don't know where the nickname Virtus came from. That's weird as hell to me.
Things are different in the booth, man.
So he say, see, I didn't speak. He say, yep, but when I walk out of here, they'll take my damn money. And he say, your money walks out the front door and the back door. Because when you got a bar, people like, they trying to walk the bottles when they want to go home for the weekend, they grab a bottle or two. And if you got a restaurant, they might grab a steak or two.
Yeah.
So you got to always watch things. But if you make it to where the transactions are consistent, you will not lose as much. Say it like that.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of consistent, big day in the DMV. Caps season opener tonight.
Yes.
I'm excited. Are you going to go?
Nah, I got a show tonight.
Oh, that's right. You're going to be at DC Prime, right?
Yeah.
I got a show too, so I'm here in Ashburn, going to be here for open locker room this afternoon. Then I'm going to drive down to Capital One. Got some interviews lined up, and for me, like, I think the Caps are, let's be real, the Commanders are the biggest team in town.
Biggest draw.
Yo, it honestly might almost be like cash, like credit card transactions. This day. Like, if you look at the DC sports fans' attention, 80-85% of it is on the Commanders.
More than like.
Especially right now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little different in March.
Yeah.
But the Caps are the number two team in town, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I would say they've been as successful as any lately. But one thing about it, bro, when basketball is going, bro, people love it. And it just ain't going right now.
I know. Well, like, I think with basketball, last year, especially late when they got on that big run, when Maryland basketball is right, that's a really big deal in the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Georgetown basketball ever gets right, that's a really big deal. If the Wizards ever get right, and let's hope this rebuild that they're going through is eventually going to land them in a spot where they really matter. I'm not saying, like, the potential for what could be the second biggest draw in town, because I agree with you that when basketball, any of these programs, if it's the Hoyas, the Terps, the Wiz,
yeah,
GW, when they had Yinka Dare, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if
that jumps.
Totally. But going into this year, it feels like it's going to be the Caps for another season.
You got it. I'm with that.
So I'm excited to get to the Caps season.
Well, I did see a little hockey last night.
Yeah, that was on.
And I saw our dude.
Garnett?
No. Got hurt. Left ear. Told you I played golf with him. He just got hurt last year. He decided to retire.
Oshie. Yeah.
TJ's doing some TV stuff.
Yeah, dude.
All the accents, they sound exactly the same.
I think Oshie's from Pacific Northwest, but right?
Accents still guy. Sound like he's one of those dudes from Canada. Just serious.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for the Caps. We have a packed show coming today. Greenberg's going to join us at 11. Ben Stadig's going to join us at noon. At 1 o'clock, we'll hear from Joe Beninati, Caps announcer on Monumental Sports Network. Can't wait for another season of Joe B. and Locker. Joe B. going to get us up to speed on what to expect this evening and this season. We're going to hear from Dan Quinn today. Commanders practice at 1:30. We'll give you whatever updates we can then. Plenty for us to discuss. I want to have a real conversation about Terry McLaurin and what he will bring to this offense when he is right, and kind of how much higher can this season go, right? Like, offensively, I think, especially in the second half, like, we started to see the Commanders' offense we expected last week. What can a healthy Terry McLaurin do for that group? I think it's pretty significant. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Yeah.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 1067 The Fan. Big opportunity this weekend for the Commanders, maybe to get Terry McLaurin healthy and back out on the field. If you look at their pass game production since Terry has been hurt, it's a little funky because you had Mariota start a game there, and then it was
two games.
Yeah, but Terry played in one of those.
Yeah, that's right.
Terry got hurt in the Raider game.
Yeah.
I think Debo has clearly identified a huge role in this offense. And I think, honestly, I mean, you go back and check the tape, I expected Debo to be a really good fit offensively here. I think, you know, the talk of him being, like, out of shape or lost a step from San Fran, I think was
that
just...
That was the fans that were hating.
Well, dude, you kind of, I mean, hopefully it's a very vocal minority, but, like, you're kind of hearing that. That one dude that calls in here keeps talking about being mad at Terry for being hurt, right? Like, guys get hurt. They're athletes. It's a physical game.
Get a life.
What do you think happens offensively when they get Terry back?
I think the offense gets better. The thing about Terry, and I also believe in Debo, they want the ball. They want to perform. But also, if they see success happening on the team, they're not going to make issues about it. I expect it to become a much better offense because now you have two legitimate guys with experience that know how to do something. Right now, Luke and Jalen are learning their way. They are talented.
It's starting to show you something, too,
but
right?
They're starting to show you things, but I guarantee you, Terry and Debo together, they do things in such a way where it's not like they have to force it. You know, they're not learning their way, which even makes it even easier for those two guys because when those two on the field, they're going to command more attention. And now you get the third, fourth guy one-on-one, should cook them. You know, it'll help them out. So I think the offense will ascend, to be totally honest with you, because, like, when Terry is there, Debo understands I got a legitimate guy on the other side and vice versa. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not, well, damn. You know, they going to start clouding the coverage towards me. And those guys going to get all the one-on-ones. You know what I'm saying? Hell, with Terry's out there, they both may get one-on-one. And we know they going to probably cook most of the guys that they see.
Well, and they're running the ball really well already.
Yeah.
And I think Terry's elite as a play-action receiver. So I think they're – how close to peak performance do you think we've seen Washington through five games offensively? Not very, right?
I don't think it's – I don't know because the first game or two, nah, they wasn't doing it.
The Giants game, they certainly weren't at their peak. The Packers game, they got their...
They had their doors blown off.
Yeah. The Raiders game was their highest point total, but you also had some big special teams plays in that. Atlanta, they were playing catch-up, and they were down two scores late in that thing. Were able to kind of get it tighter.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Chargers game...
is the closest.
For three quarters, though, because offensively in the first quarter, they were terrible.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been basically a game, three quarters of a game. And... last year we saw things click a little sooner, but everybody had been there together the whole time. I think they are scratching. They're not even scratching the surface of what they could possibly be. Because now you look at the running game, Bill emerges. We've seen that McNichols and Rodriguez can get it done. The offensive line now is starting to communicate and gel a little bit better. You know, you still Zach still is Zach. and with a healthy Bates in the lineup makes a world of damn difference.
Totally.
So this thing, they're not even close. They haven't even gotten close to what they could be.
I tend to agree. And then you have a quarterback that misses two games.
Yeah.
Mariota was quite good in his two games, but Jaden Daniels is an elite player. I mean, the throw Jaden made to Luke for that big gain, I mean, that thing traveled 47 yards in the air, and he was kind of flat-footed and released it quick. Like, his arm tech, he can do as a pocket passer. Mm-hmm. For all the talk of the excitement surrounding his athletic ability, which is very real, I thought he did a great job of kind of protecting himself in that game.
Yeah, the one he threw to Debo in the back end zone. He was falling back with two people coming at him, and he just flicked that thing.
Did you see that they were?
Yeah, I mentioned that to you yesterday.
Rehearsing their celebration.
I guess they were like, "Tell them if we score, we're gonna do this." They didn't know it was gonna come the next play.
I wonder if they thought, like, "Yo, if we get this look, we know exactly what we're doing here." Mm-hmm. What is the celly? It was pretty interesting.
Like it. It was fun.
I think you get Terry back on the field. Is going to get them a lot closer to the group we saw last year that moved the ball really well.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, through five games right now, they are 8th in the NFL in scoring, 13th in yards. If you look
think about that, and they haven't even much gotten close to what they can be.
Right. Last year they finished 5th in points, 7th in yards. So I think they're probably climbing back towards that. Mm-hmm. This time last year, though, was when they got through week five last season, they had just gone on a three-game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They beat the Bengals, the Cardinals, and then just rolled the Browns at home.
Mm-hmm.
So if they could put together a little win streak now, the schedule's about to get really interesting. The Bears are a challenge, undeniably. Then you go to Dallas. That game... The way Dallas can move the ball and the way NFC East games are usually pretty tight, that at Dallas game, you got Bears Monday night and then the following week Chiefs Monday night. The Dallas game looks like a tricky spot to me. But
handle what's in front of you. Can't worry about the Chiefs. Can't worry about nothing else. Just handle the people in front of you.
But, B, think about this stretch of schedule here. Bears Monday night at Dallas, Chiefs Monday night, Sunday night football against the Seahawks. Then you've got the Lions coming to town. Then you got the Spain game. It is loaded with what's happening here.
I wonder what the travel people are saying now. Remember last year? Oh, man, we didn't have much travel last year.
No.
This year we got some. Are those people upset? I don't have a problem with it.
Last year, B, I don't think we got on an airplane from like October to mid-December.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Think about it. So after the Cardinals game, and granted, we were out of town for a week, it was home against Cleveland, at Baltimore, easy drive. Home against the Panthers, home against the Bears, at New York, I drove. You might have flown. Pittsburgh at home, at Philly, I think I took the train. Dallas at home, Tennessee at home, then the bye week. We weren't from September 29th until December 15th. They had no travel further than...
But there were people complaining about travel.
And
remember that?
Rest days.
I'm like, what the hell are y'all talking about?
Good teams play crazy.
I drive more in a week than they did. They traveled throughout that whole year.
The way you drive, is. Where'd you play golf yesterday?
Out here in Maryland.
Well, we're in Virginia.
We're in Virginia, I mean.
Nobody is less worried about driving around than Brian.
I mean, you buy cars because they move. I mean, I'm not trying to save no damn nothing.
Well, you got the electric now.
Still. I drive it.
How often do you have to recharge your car?
Not often.
Like I feel like yours barely gets below 50%, right?
Mm-hmm. You got to realize, Jay, I don't just drive to work and back home.
I'm fully
aware.
I'm all
over the place, bro. So I push it sometimes. But yeah. I don't like to. They tell you don't let it get below 20 anyway. I almost let it get below 30, 35.
You know they have chargers here.
I know.
Feel like they'd let a certain.
Yeah, I normally have a charge by the time I get here. If I didn't have to worry about, if I needless, you know, I'll manipulate my way.
I believe you will
learn,
sir,
those things in my, you know, present state.
I want to have a discussion about last year's Bears game and kind of what it did to Chicago and what it did for Washington and how much, if any, carryover that will have. Every football season is a different being, right? Every football season, living, breathing organism, they change over the course of the season. But because of the nature of that ball game, what impact will that have on Monday night's game? Ben Johnson, the Bears head coach, talked about it. His comments are pretty darn interesting. Let's get into that when we return. Neil Greenberg joins us at 11.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Announcing about it was stupid. He wasn't there. How would he know? He has really no feel for that. If I'm walking in as a new coach, I'm coming in and say, listen, I'm telling you what I want, what I expect, how we going to do things. And that's what we're talking about. I'm not, yeah, you know, and last year they got y'all in the Hail Mary. Yeah, we're going to use that for motivation. No, man, please. I'm trying to establish what I build, what I believe, what I think we should try to be. You know, I would tell him off the bat, we're not going to be looking in the crowd when the damn game is going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come up with stuff like that, but to even much try to use that as motivation would be stupid. Because there's a player who really dealt with something like that. There's somebody there who really had that personal strife. Like, dude, you wouldn't even hear. What the hell are you talking about?
What impact do you think that game has this year? Zero?
None whatsoever.
Is it more than, is it like 5%?
No percent.
Really?
It shouldn't, because you say it all the time about how every year is totally different. If that game had nothing to do with this coaching staff, this football team, if there were a bunch of people and the staff was still here, I could understand. They ruined our season last year. Hell, well, Ben Johnson might be more upset because we ruined his season last year. Remember that?
Yeah, dude.
So,
I mean, that's not nothing. I saw some video the station posted, and I'm not really sure what they were screaming about, but it was, did you see this video the station posted yesterday on Instagram? It was Grant and Stallion screaming at each other. And I think it might have been about the NFC title game, where, yeah, so Jared Goff in that game had 4 turnovers, right? And I think, and not to mention Jameson Williams had an interception. Remember they tried that play?
Yeah.
And now the two of them were screaming, so it's hard to really delineate exactly what was happening. But I think basically Stallion was kind of blaming Ben Johnson for that loss because of how the game plan was. I think Stallion is ride or die for Jared Goff, right? Now, obviously, both Grant and Stallion were rooting for the Commanders in that game, but they're like, if you have to pick the blame from a Lions perspective on that game, who is it? And Stallion's like, it was Ben Johnson. Because the one thing I remember in that game was Jahmyr Gibbs was shredding everyone. And they kept giving the ball to David Montgomery.
Who had control over that.
Who was working his way back from a knee injury. In some capacity, it was the play caller, right? But I'm sure Dan Campbell had the impact. But Jared Goff did turn the ball over 4 times. How much do you think the loss in the NFC title game and the manner in which it happened impacts Ben Johnson coming into this game?
He may try and learn from what happened in that game, because he has to, at this point, understand if I have a running back that they can't stop, you damn sure don't go away from him. You get what I'm saying?
Like, even Washington and their commitment to a running back by committee, they saw that Bill was gashing dudes last week against the Chargers.
They didn't go away from it.
And stuck with it, right? Yeah, even after the fumble, they stuck with it.
See, that's my thing, bro. This has to – he you remember moments in your career, whether it's coaching or playing. You remember those moments. This that game has to be one that he remembers as like a low point. You know, listen, Stallion's not wrong. But like when you hear that Jared Goff threw the interceptions, I mean he had the four turnovers. Why? Because they kept throwing the football. If they were running the ball, guess what? Jared Goff wouldn't have been in that situation. If they stayed two-dimensional instead of going one-dimensional, Jared Goff wouldn't have been in that situation. So, yes, that's on the play caller, 100%.
It's
if they were running Jahmyr Gibbs like he was running, Jared wouldn't have to throw the ball. He wouldn't have to drop back for no passes. His offensive line was in shambles, but he kept dropping him back. And they were trying to hit big plays down the field, which means he had to pat the ball and hold it.
Well, and they got – it's not like they were clawing their way back and had to pass. Like, they had an early lead.
Yes.
They got up 7-0. They were up 14-10. It was really the series of events where Jaden hit Terry – like, Terry took that bubble 60 yards.
Yep.
And then Quan got the pick six is where that game turned around. Yep. And all of a sudden Washington had a lead. But it was tight throughout. Like, you didn't.
That's what I'm saying, man.
I wouldn't say they got away from the run, but you could have kept leaning on Gibbs.
You could have leaned on it like hell.
I mean, dude, Gibbs in that game had 20 touches for 175 yards.
And you went away from him. So, you don't think that was a problem, and that's the play caller had control over that, then you don't know nothing about football.
Yeah, I mean, Goff threw the ball 40 times.
And he didn't have to throw it 40 times. And they still could have been in that game and would have had a great chance of winning that game.
He did throw the picks, though. I mean.
Yeah, he threw the picks.
You're not going to win many playoff games with four turnovers.
But when you are throwing the ball, when you don't have to throw the ball, and you got a guy getting 6 to 8 yards a carry, why is your quarterback throwing the ball 40 times?
It's a fair question. I mean, Jaden in that game only threw it 31 times. And if you look, they weren't having the same success on the ground. B-Rob was pretty good. B-Rob had 15 for 77. Eckler was back in that game. Eckler had 10 touches for about 90 yards. But they committed. They got more carries to their backs. McNichols had 4 carries in that game. Jaden also ran it 16 times. And Jaden's clearly a different player than Mariota. There are so many weird ties in this game, from the Hail Mary last year to Ben Johnson turning this ownership group down to being the OC last year in the divisional round when they lose, when nobody expected them to lose.
Yeah.
And questions at least about the game plan, questions about the commitment to the run. And now it's all full circle. We'll see you Monday night.
Full circle, and I would say this. He turned down the ownership group.
It's not a sure thing they were going to hire him, but he said, I'm good.
Dan Quinn got the job. Dan Quinn should have no beef with Ben Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
I got the job and went out. So guess what? I'm not telling my team one damn thing about Ben Johnson. Let's prepare. As a defense, we know they tried last year with that offense, and I would have to believe that that offense had more weapons than this offense has.
Oh, the Lions?
Yes.
I mean, the biggest difference you could tell with the Bears right now is they have DeAndre Swift that they want to be in the Jahmyr Gibbs role. They don't have a Montgomery. They have this rookie, Manunga. Hopefully I'm not mispronouncing it. Rookie at USC. He's not David Montgomery. They have kind of the slasher, but they don't have the hammer. The player that concerns me most for Sunday's game is Roma Dunze.
Mm-hmm.
What concerns me most right now, though, is going to break so we can get Neil Greenberg on the radio. Nobody go anywhere.
We'll be right back.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.